Hello and welcome to the KE Report. Chad and Corey getting an update from Vox Royalty, traded on the TSX under the ticker VOXR and on the NASDAQ under the same ticker VOXR. We are joined today by the CEO and chairman of Vox Royalty, Kyle Floyd. And Kyle, it's always great getting you on the show just to get an update on Vox. This is a fun one because you put out a letter to investors and you titled it On the Path of Totality. And it's because when you put this out on April 25th, everybody was still in eclipse mode. If people remember, the totality is where you can see the complete eclipse. And you were making the point in it actually towards the end of the letter, but I thought it'd be fun to kick it off at this point, that a lot of people get caught up in this, but they're scientists that do all this research ahead of time and they get ready for this. So everybody knows it's coming years in advance. But a lot of people that wanted to go watch the totality were the latecomers coming in at the very end and trying to get their hotel rooms or get a rental car or get their travel plans, but they ended up paying up for it. And you made the point that a lot of the assets you have in Vox have this long-term value creation. You know it's coming. You can look at the science behind it. And you made the same point that it eventually will be more obvious and latecomers will end up paying up for the same company. Maybe just start us off there with that point on the path towards totality.
Yeah, Chad, no, and it's great to be back with you and Corey. You know, it was just really, I think I was actually on an airplane and I was reading a news story about how hotel prices and airfares and everything was trading up for everyone wanting to go get, you know, a piece of totality. And it just struck me that, you know, everyone could have made these plans years and years and years in advance. And then there was this mania, you know, right around the event. And you know, it just, in my mind, it kind of resonated that that's just how the markets work. It's how consumer behavior operates. And, you know, when I look at Vox and I know what we have in our portfolio and I know how it's developing, we've done the right work. We've done the right math. We've done the right science. And we have a tremendous portfolio of royalties that we've accumulated at fantastic value for our shareholders. And my belief, and I think this is baked in the data, is it's just a matter of time before investors appreciate it. And so it's not the simplest portfolio of royalties to value, but I think it is the royalty portfolio that's trading at the best value right now. And I think that's going to become very evident. We certainly have some things to talk about later on that showcase that even more so. But yeah, it was just an interesting kind of epiphany, or I guess line of thinking, where I thought that would connect with investors and you know, how a lot of really good investors think about the markets and trying to position themselves.
All right, Kyle, let's talk about some of the numbers then. We don't need to go back through the 2023 financials, but early on in that letter, you said how a lot of these numbers exceeded your own expectations: revenue, gross profit, cash flows generated from operations. I want you to outline the metrics on a per share basis, though, because as much as we hear from companies, royalty companies too, saying, look, record year in terms of revenue, in terms of profit, how does it translate down to the investor is through a per share basis. So take us through some of the highlights when it comes to a per share basis and what you're growing in terms of that.
Well, Corey, thanks for pointing that out. And, you know, the investor letter is really an opportunity for us to speak broadly about our strategy and what we're accomplishing, you know, both big picture and really even on a daily basis for our shareholders. And so it's something that me and the team really look forward to is publishing that letter and getting a chance to speak about the big picture and the execution philosophies of our business. And, you know, a very core principle for us is that ultimately value is created on a per share basis, as you noted. And we see a lot of companies, not just royalty companies, but a lot of companies tout growth. But when you actually kind of peel back the first layer of the onion on that growth, it's, you know, oftentimes not accretive. So they've issued more shares to get less revenue or even less net asset value. And so, yes, there's a lot of royalty companies that are reporting, quote unquote, record numbers, but are they really on a per share basis? And so one of the statistics that our shareholders, our board, and our management team really focuses on is cash flow per share. And certainly the numbers have exceeded our expectations over the last 2 years. That's a function of buying great assets at great valuations. But for two consecutive years now, we've had 130% cash flow per share growth. That stacks up better than anybody else in the royalty sector. And so That's a metric that we focus on, and we're able to focus on value fundamentally. And we've talked about this a lot of times in the program. We're able to focus on value because we have the competitive advantages that allow us to find that value in the first place. And so for a royalty world and sector that we touched on in the letter is hyper-competitive and ultimately driving up valuations, which will, at the end of the day, work to Vox's advantage as we leverage an undervalued portfolio. We are able to find unique value and unique situations over fantastic assets. And that's allowing us to be very disciplined around value.
Well, and Kyle, another point we've made before and in previous episodes, but it's worth reiterating, is also, I think, another competitive advantage for Vox in the royalty sector is the return on invested capital, how much money you've invested into assets and the returns you've already seen. And I think it'd even be fun to highlight just some recent information that came out about Red Hill, just from Northern Star, as an example of the capital that you invested versus the expected return.
Absolutely. And so we've put about $55 million to work buying third-party royalties in 2023 that generated $12.3 million in top line. And that's pure royalty revenue. It's worth refreshing for a lot of your listeners. There's a lot of royalty companies that do a lot of other things other than just purely buying royalties. And so we believe that pure royalty revenue trades at a premium to other types of revenue that royalty companies generate. And so that's a focus for us, and it's a very pure number. And that relates to almost a 25% current return on invested capital. And that's expected to be long life, long duration, free royalty cash flow. And so in turn, one of the key components to that is, well, what's the denominator? How much have you spent to buy your assets? And that's where I think we really stand out from the rest of the royalty companies that are operating today. And I believe that we're going to continue standing out in that capacity. When I look at our pipeline and what we'll achieve going forward, I'm very optimistic around the continuation of that return profile. But speaking to what it can be and what we expect it to be, and this gets to kind of that comment about understanding what the path of totality is and how you can position yourself as a company and also as an investor. Northern Star came out with some really positive news around one of the key royalties that we've acquired over the last couple of years. That asset's called Red Hill. And when we bought the asset, you know, we went out and we said, look, this is a very, very important asset for Vox. It's a fantastic asset and will be a fantastic mine for Vox with a great royalty over it. And then just last night, Northern Star came out with a very robust report and market update on this asset, to the point that, you know, when we came out originally, we said we thought it could do up to $5 million a year in total revenue. Now it's looking to be much closer to $10 million per annum in total revenue over an ore body that just continues to get better. And then also Northern Star had some very, I would say, direct disclosure on how they're going to develop this asset, how they're going to process this ore, which is going to feed into the expanded super pit operation. So a fantastic asset. We've been certainly telling investors that we have a number of these assets in Australia that are progressing on a very, very productive path, Red Hill being chief among them. And that means that Vox is trading at exceptional value right now for investors that are evaluating our business versus, you know, what I think is going to be coming down the pike, which is very meaningful growth with very quality assets, with what is the second largest portfolio of hard rock mining royalties in all of Australia.
So in your eyes, then, looking at this Red Hill project, if it's going to be such a huge contributor to revenue, you said up to $10 million a year, what's the timeline in your eyes that Red Hill gets into production?
So Northern Star is expanding. Probably many of your listeners are familiar with this operation. It's called the Super Pit, and Northern Star is the largest gold producing company in Australia. And they put hundreds of millions of dollars, actually it's over $1 billion, I believe, into the expansion of the Super Pit milling capacity and operations. And so the Northern Star disclosure included a reference to them ultimately trucking this ore 20 kilometers down the road to the expanded Super Pit milling capacity. And so they expect that to be fully ramped up, I believe, by 2027. And then, you know, our belief is that prior to that, there's a very, very good opportunity for them, being Northern Star, to feed this ore into the mill in advance of the fully expanded capacity. So, you know, we're looking at the next kind of 2 to 3 years for this asset. It's possible that it can move faster than that. It's also possible that it can move slower than that, but I think we would probably index towards a tighter timeframe.
Well, and Kyle, let's also just zoom back a little bit and just look at the overall stable of royalties. You have six producing assets, two that are very near term, you know, I think later this year, beginning of next year, which would take you up to eight. And then you even have discussed on prior shows that you see the pathway for number nine and number 10 on the producing assets. And then you have so many development projects that are coming down the pipeline. Maybe just speak to the complexity in valuing royalty companies or peer comparisons, because I think a lot of companies have one or two cornerstone assets, maybe something like Red Hill you just described, but then it's really hard to flush out where the value is coming from after that. With Vox, you have a lot of these royalties that are all valuable in their own right. Maybe just break down how you're positioned amongst peers and then how you would value a more complex portfolio.
Well, look, ultimately, we've done a really good job at picking. We've handpicked assets that we believe are ultimately going to enter production and be very, very successful mining operations. And, you know, yes, it's very true that there's some royalty companies out there that have called the two or three cornerstone assets. The problem with that is a lot of times, you know, those assets have been acquired in shop processes at very high valuations where you've paid for that brand value. And Vox is kind of the opposite, where we're not winning processes to buy assets. We're buying them over, you know, assets that in North America aren't brand name, but are just as good of quality, if not better. And overall with our portfolio, what you're seeing is Western Australia's strength as a mining jurisdiction. A lot of the assets that we've handpicked are lower capital intensity, meaning it costs less on a per ounce basis to bring those assets into production, usually as a function of them being around already installed milling capacity. So Red Hill kind of checks all these boxes where you're not looking at hundreds of millions or billions to bring a lot of these assets in production, and they're getting the full benefit of a very robust gold environment in Australia, where Australia, in Australian dollar terms, gold's at $3,500 an ounce and has been consistently at all-time high levels over the last 4 years. And so these tailwinds just continue to pick up momentum, which compounds in a royalty company like Vox's favor that has so many assets over royalties over assets that are on the fast track now to production, should project out to be relatively low cost operations. You know, for many of your listeners, you know, it's easy to understand the quality of the operators in Australia, their personnel. And ultimately, we believe Australia is going to be the best managed to avoid the cost inflation pressures that we think will persist in the industry for quite some time. And there's a lot of reasons for that. So when you stack up what we're buying and why we're buying it against what the macro backdrop is, I believe investors are just kind of missing the opportunity there that we've been acquiring. And ultimately, the one thing that changes all this is as the cash flow ramps and as these assets come online, you can't ignore the cash flow. But we believe that it's coming, and we are really excited about the organic growth profile of our business.
You are right. Investors will take note of increased cash flow, increased revenue. But on that point, look, Vox is still a small royalty company. There's a lot of small royalty companies out there. And quite frankly, investors want growth. You even outlined that 2023 was a slower year in terms of deal making compared to other years. You just didn't see the type of deals that you wanted to see. So you're not going out to make deals just to make deals. But what does 2024 look like? Will you be more aggressive, and will you move up the food chain to bigger, larger royalties potentially, like Red Hill?
Yeah, I'll kind of work backwards on that, Corey. So I do expect 2024 to be a bigger year in terms of acquisitions made, just looking at our pipeline presently. And, you know, one of the nice things about our balance sheet and our business right now is we're debt-free. We have approximately $10 million of cash on the balance sheet, and revolver that we have with BMO, we can stretch that up to 25 million plus the 10 million that we have in cash. So we're not looking to raise equity anytime soon. So we're going to be able to fund very, very accretive growth with the cash that we can deploy into royalty assets. But, you know, one thing I would say about Vox is we're never in a rush to deploy capital, and we're not aggressive in that respect either. We're patiently waiting for good value for our shareholders. And, you know, so last year there wasn't the acquisitions. We looked at a lot. There was a lot of activity kind of behind the scenes, but the value just wasn't stacking up. Red Hill and that portfolio of gold royalties we acquired in Western Australia was the anomaly where we were able to find really, really deep value. But, you know, as we continue to put the work in the later stages of last year and into this year, we're seeing a very, very good pipeline of opportunities at fantastic value for our shareholders that we believe is going to be highly accretive for our business. And so I'm excited about what 2024 holds. 2023 was a great year in acquiring Absolute Value, but now we've got some significant tailwinds behind us in that there's a great pipeline and we don't have to go back to the equity markets anytime soon. And hopefully not for a very, very, very long time, if ever, to fund growth, which means it's going to be very, very accretive to our shareholders.
All right, Kyle, we'll wrap it up there, but exciting year on tap for 2024. Looking forward to see what some of those transactions may be. And hey, while you didn't make a lot of transactions last year, as we outlined in this call, the Red Hill transaction was a real whopper of one. So going to see some future dividends on that for a long time to come. If people want to follow along with the news at Vox, definitely click on the link below this interview. It'll take you over to the company website directly to their news section. And Kyle, keep us posted as you get more news out. We'll definitely have you back on to give you an update and looking forward to our next conversation.
Well, I really appreciate it, Chad and Corey, and always a pleasure to be with you both.